morning.
Good morning.
The scripture reading today is Matthew 13, 24 to 30, and then 36 to 43. The parable of weeds among the wheat. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But when everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the household came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in the field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat among them, along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reaper, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Jesus further explained, "Then he left the crowd and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the devil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reaper are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burnt up with fire, so will it be at the end of age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them in the furnace of fire, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Let anyone with ears listen." That be the word of God. Amen.
Before we listen to God's message, let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord our God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence with other believers. We pray, God, that your Spirit will prepare our hearts and our minds now to receive your message. I know you have a purpose for each and every one of us. Maybe we don't even know what that purpose is, but somehow we are here this morning. Or somehow we might hear this message online or whatever the case may be. And you have a plan for each of us. May you speak to us now. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let me see, how many of you like to shake a little dry Parmesan cheese onto your pasta? Almost everybody. So you've got a steaming plate of spaghetti and meatballs, and you just layer it on, right? But be honest, I mean, have you ever looked closely at that pre-grated stuff and thought to yourself, man, this kind of looks and maybe even tastes a little like sawdust? Ever happened to you? Apparently not. Well, a few years back, a cheese manufacturer in Pennsylvania called Castle Cheese was busted by the FDA because they were marketing their Parmesan as 100% real Parmesan. But the reality was that it contained absolutely 0% Parmesan, none. So consumers were sprinkling a mixture of cheap cheese trimmings and filler material onto their dinner. And the bulk of that filler, cellulose, better known to the rest of us as wood pulp. Now, to be fair, I mean, a lot of manufacturers use a tiny bit of cellulose, but maybe 2 to 4%, just to keep the cheese from clumping. But some of the bottles sitting on grocery store shelves have been found to contain as much as 8% or more. And that's way too much filler. Now, the FDA is constantly on the lookout for food manufacturers who cut corners, okay? Extra virgin olive oil mixed with cheap oils, tea bags padded with lawn grass clippings or fern leaves. And sometimes it takes a true expert to tell the difference between what's real and what is fake. So cheese making was a big deal in Jesus' day. So much so that the Jewish historian Josephus named the ravine between the Mount of Zion and Mount Moriah in Jerusalem the Valley of the Cheesemakers. But Jesus didn't tell any parables about cheese, probably because none of the cheesemakers in those days ever thought of adding wood to their gouda. However, he did say in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the cheesemakers." Right? I'm just checking to see if you're paying attention. Now, that was actually Monty Python. Okay? Jesus said in Matthew, "Blessed are the peacemakers, not the cheesemakers." But while cheese wasn't the focus, Jesus did care deeply about food contamination. In first century Israel, messing with the food supply wasn't just a corporate scam, it was a threat to survival. It threatened their daily bread. And when Jesus wanted to show his disciples how difficult it is to separate the real citizens of the kingdom of heaven from the fakes, he took them out to the wheat fields. And in our passage, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man sowed good seed in his field. One night, when everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And this wasn't just a hypothetical story, okay? In the ancient world, rival landowners would actually sneak onto a neighbor's property to sabotage their crops to gain a market advantage. It was such a widespread issue that Roman law specifically carved out punishments for sowing poisonous plants in another man's field. And the specific wheat Jesus is talking about here is called darnel. And in its early stages, darnel looks identical to wheat, and you cannot tell them apart. It's only when the plants grow and mature and the heads of grain begin to form that the truth comes out. And by the time the servants in the parable noticed the treachery, it was too late because the roots of the fake wheat had completely intertwined with the crop. And so the servants rushed to the master and frantic and acting like a primitive version of the FDA. Said, "Do you want us to go and pull up the weeds?" The master says something profound in verses 29 and 30. "No," he answered, "because as you gather the weeds, you might pull up some of the wheat along with them. Let the wheat and the weeds both grow until the harvest." And later on, the disciples get Jesus alone indoors, and they are confused, and they ask him, explain to us this parable of the weeds. And they likely thinking, I mean, why wait? If there's evil among us, why not root it out right now so the community can stay pure? You know what? I think we still grapple with this today. Because we face a world that feels increasingly messy and hostile or compromised. And so many Christians tend to take one of two destructive approaches. First, there's the isolationist approach. You know, in Jesus' day, a group called the Essenes packed up and moved out to the desert. And they wanted 100% pure community, completely walled off from current culture. And today we see some Christians doing the same thing. They build, you know, thick walls and create an insular subculture. And they treat the outside world strictly as an enemy. But history shows us that isolationist communities eventually atrophy. They die out because you can't run a rescue mission if you never leave the bunker. And furthermore, the walls don't keep sin out. Do you know why? Because the seed of sin lives in the human heart. Second, there's the Pharisaic approach. This is the group that decides to act as the spiritual FDA. And they go on moral crusades. They point fingers and they pull up weeds by the roots and they publicly write people off. But as Jesus points out, this approach causes enormous collateral damage. How many people do you know who've been deeply wounded or driven away from the church by well-meaning Christians leading with judgment instead of grace? Do you realize that the most pain I've experienced in my ministry were because of certain Christians? You see, when we try to rip out what we perceive as evil in someone else, we often rip up the good seed God is trying to grow in them. What we might see as weed might actually be a human heart in desperate need of a little more time or a little more soil and a lot more grace to be transformed. What we need to know is that judging people is something God does incredibly well, and it's something we do terribly. And Jesus makes it clear, the sorting is not our job. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. And it takes the ultimate expert to discern what is real and what is fake. And that distinction is fully revealed only at the final harvest. Until then, our roots are intertwined with the world around us. And look how Jesus lived this out, by the way. He spent the vast majority of his time eating and drinking with people the religious elite considered weeds, the tax collectors, prostitutes, and outcasts. He didn't run around pulling them out of the field. He nurtured them and he offered them transforming grace. So Castle Cheese, the company that sold the fake wood pulp Parmesan, eventually went bankrupt. And today, that factory stands completely empty and shuttered because what they claimed to be on the outside didn't match what was happening on the inside. And that is the ultimate cautionary tale for all of us today. We don't need to look at the person sitting next to us. We don't need to look at the people out in the culture around us and wonder if they are wheat or if they are weeds. Instead, we need to look inward and we need to ask ourselves, does my life reflect the authenticity of a real relationship with Jesus Christ? Or am I harboring a lot of religious filler? Are we full of the genuine fruit of the Spirit? Are we full of love? Are we full of joy and peace and patience and kindness? Or are we just pouring out an imitation faith that looks good on a label but leaves our hungry world completely unsatisfied? If we want to clear out the filler in our own lives, then we need to stop trying to fake it. And what we need to do is bring our real and our messy and unfiltered selves to Jesus. We step out of the judge's seat. We stop trying to manage everyone else's growth and ask the Holy Spirit to examine our own soil. So let's stop, you know, trying to police the field. And let's start letting the genuine grace of God grow deep and authentic root in our lives today. And then show that grace to a world that desperately needs it. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, if we tend to be judgmental, please forgive us. It's so easy to point the finger, to look at others and say, look at them. What you tell us is we need to look inward, because the judging is not our job. We're terribly at it. You are not. You will discern at the end of time. May your grace be planted in our hearts. May it take indeed deep roots so that we can extend that same grace to others. Who knows, God, what your transformative grace can do in someone else's life? May people, when they look at Community Church, see a church that is welcoming, a church that is non-judgmental, a church where we allow your grace to grow and flourish in people's lives, because only you can make the difference. Bless us with your presence. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.